Having been in the online Christian fringe community for several years, I would currently say there are three main teachings to be aware of and guarded against, which are potentially the most destructive to a local Christian fellowship. The first one is the serpent seed heresy. The second is the modern Nephilim hybrids teaching. And the third one is the idea of MPD, SRA infiltrators, or satanic super soldiers, people who say they have multiple personality disorder and have a background of satanic ritual abuse or mind control form of abuse. Idea that they're demonized, have multiple personality disorder, and are infiltrating the church. Other people are being labeled as deceptive and dangerous demoniacs who secretly serve Satan whilst maintaining a more normal, usual public personality. Some of these people are the worst victims out of those previously mentioned, being childhood SRA or RA victims who report having multiple personalities. But also falling into this category are others, including those who claim to have multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder, that being those who have MPD or DID and do not have SRA. Drawing from secular psychology, these people are believed to have developed multiple personalities from a splitting of the soul or mind into fragments in childhood, and that this is a natural result of undergoing severe abuse. Some of these personalities, which are said to be a natural part of the person's own fragmented soul, are thought to be demonized and remain hidden most of the time, but could theoretically get into control of the person at any time. Severe childhood abuse resulting in development of these personalities is usually an essential part of secular understanding of the condition. While there is no doubt that there are some people who report symptoms which fit the description of this model, there is question within the Christian research community specializing in MPD as to just what a correct model should look like of understanding this condition. Research in this field is still developing, and the process of learning how to help these people is still uncertain. Treatment methodologies combining therapy and deliverance ministry do vary, as do models for understanding what MPD is. The Christian research on this topic, maintaining demonization is usually present, is distinct from the secular research community, which formally holds no such belief. There is controversy about SRA and MPD, as some people have reported developing false memories of SRA, sometimes under hypnosis, later realizing they were false, even after making harmful accusations against family, which were denied by the family. On the other hand, there are also reports of repressed memories of extreme childhood abuse later resurfacing in adulthood, memories which are verifiable with objective evidence, even enough to hold up in court. There have been cases where people seem to have only developed MPD after they were suggestively exposed to the diagnosis in adulthood. The power of suggestion, either from Christian or secular sources, and sometimes related to hypnosis. Some memories of those who claim MPD and SRA are clearly paranormal experiences involving demonic, fallen angelic entities, or reptilian alien creatures. In a survey of over 1,000 survivors of satanic ritual abuse, mind control, and other extreme abuse, the reported experiences included, reported by these over 1,000 survivors that were surveyed, 38% reported marriage to Satan, 6% UFO abduction, 24% of children surveyed mentioned aliens, 21 to 24% of children reported they were taken right out of school for mind control and then returned to the classroom. The same has been reported with alien abductions. 21% mind control training to develop psychic powers. This is similar to what's seen in alien abduction. And 15% reported time travel in the experiences. And abductees report this also. And 53% report demon possession in their experiences. Many cases are obviously paranormal in nature, and similar to alien abduction, which is paranormal in nature, in that they involve aliens or UFOs. But on the other hand, there are real satanic cult groups composed of real people, and so natural, not paranormal, satanic ritual abuse is also possible. Also, MPD is reported to have developed in cases in which the extreme abuse involved was from family. It was natural, not paranormal in origin, and SRA or RA was not involved. And so, thus we can see the controversy. The net result is that there are several options possible for anyone who remembers satanic ritual abuse or similar experiences. It may have been real people. It may have been a paranormal experience. It may have been false memories. It may be false memories that have developed from the power of suggestion, hypnosis, or suggestibility. It may also be repressed memories of actual events that has resurfaced, but those could be either of real people or of paranormal experiences, purely paranormal events in origin. There are several possibilities for those who claim they have MPD. Speaking of MPD alone, they may have it from childhood and developed it in childhood. They also may have developed MPD as an adult after being exposed to the suggestion that they had MPD, such as from hypnosis or otherwise, the power of suggestion. Or they may not have it at all. So if someone says that they have MPD, there are several possibilities. Those with MPD do not necessarily have to have had satanic ritual abuse in their background or similar experiences in their background. People who claim to have MPD may have it or may not, but even if they do, there are still major questions in the Christian research field just as to what MPD actually is, what causes it, how it works, how much of it is demonic, and how to effectively treat or cure it. Despite the overlap of satanic ritual abuse with multiple personality disorder, not all people with MPD have experienced SRA or similar experiences that have an overtly inherent demonic aspect. Bottom line, the many variables and various possibilities with individuals who claim MPD or SRA necessitate individualized evaluation and help particular to their specific situation. Making broad generalizations would inherently be fraught with peril as to accuracy. Now, on this backdrop, the teachings of a man named Russ Dizdar have gained popularity and have been accepted as authoritative among the online Christian conspiracy fringe community. Dizdar has worked helping those with SRA or MTD to receive deliverance, and he has a deliverance ministry, and he has helped people. He offers online teachings for how to do deliverance and on spiritual warfare. These teachings are not particularly questionable as to just teaching of spiritual warfare and deliverance. It seems to have a solid biblical basis and be helpful to the general population. It's just speaking of the spiritual warfare and deliverance teachings. However, as told in his book, The Black Awakening, at some point he self-admittedly began to listen to those he worked with who had SRA and also MPD, who he knew were actively manifesting demons or demonized personalities. The demonized personalities or demons speaking through these people started giving Dizdar information both on present-day reality and also on a plan of future destruction and chaos they said that would be implemented by those with SRA and MPD, and this event he calls the Black Awakening. The description of the future that he was given of the Black Awakening is that besides those who actually do have SRA and MPD, that also many normal people, seemingly normal people, also have SRA and MPD, but do not realize it. But they, in fact, these normal-seeming people, that they have hidden demonized personalities which have been trained to kill. And that at a future point, there will be mass murder and mayhem, and now, this will take place as these people are activated by some sort of demonic trigger, like a flipping a light switch, that something will happen And that they will start committing mass murder and start killing everyone. And so these seemingly normal people, these people could be anyone, such as friends, family, church members, or co-workers, so says the book. Additionally, the present reality, according to this book, is that people in large numbers, these people, are in large numbers, and they are up to no good. They're infiltrating the Christian church. And that's what the Black Awakening teaches. Now, Dizdar believed this information about the future. He gathered this information about the future and believed it, and it was told to him by those actively manifesting demons. And so you're talking about demons speaking through people. People speaking under the influence of demons. Okay? So at this point, Dizdar started to teach and spread would be false prophecy, prophecy that came from demons. This tale about the future, the Black Awakening, was given to him by manifested demons or demonized personalities that were manifesting and speaking. So knowing that the Bible teaches that demons are liars and that they give false prophecy, and that we should be wary against false prophecy, you know, this information about the future, these prophecies about the future should not have been believed having come from demons because demons lie and give false prophecy. And the information about present-day reality that was gathered, these demonized personalities, demons manifesting, speaking through people, that information should not have been believed either. Because we know that demons are liars. The Bible tells us, you know, you don't trust what demons tell you about the future. You don't believe the things that they say. And this is as a precedent. Jesus had very little to say with demons. He asked them their name, and he told them to get out. He did not carry on conversations, and we're really not to either. You cannot get truth that way. So why would anyone believe something that someone who's, you gotta, is called a demonized personality, or you have demons manifest for someone, why listen to that? Well, a contributing factor may have simply been the immersion Dizdar had working with so many victims of SRA and MPD. And hearing similar stories from several demonized personalities in different people, or demons manifesting in different people, drawing from their, you know, similar experiences, including paranormal ones, all this could have made the information seem more believable. You have several demonized people that are separately each saying something similar. But of course, you know, we are in a war where there is an organized military force, and their main tactic is deception. Lies, deception, false prophecy, false teaching, and so it's really not such a stretch of the imagination, according to biblical teaching, to understand that you could have, you know, four or five different people, and each of them are demonized, and separately each of them give you a similar story, or a similar, you know, the demons manifest in them and give you a similar information about the future that's supposedly coming. Is like, well, demons are liars, and it might seem separate, but they're all working for Satan, and if their orders are to, okay, well, here's the false prophecy to give out, then you could see the same false prophecy being given through several different people that are each having demonic manifestation taking place. That's, you know, they all, there's the same general of the army there of Satan. And they're all working together in an organized plan. So that's not too hard to understand how that could happen. So, of course, if this was the standard of just believing what people say that they've experienced or what they think they know, well, then if this standard was used in other fields of paranormal research, then we would have to believe that there are truly thousands of alien races visiting the Earth and abducting people that are going to save the planet. This is the prophecy seen among the abductees, that they're going to save people when the Earth self-destructs, or humanity self-destructs, or the bad aliens attack, or, you know, whatever. We'd have to believe that prophecy about the future if we were going to just believe whatever it is that demons or fallen angels are telling people about the future. And we'd also have to believe in the reality of ghosts, elves, fairies, time travel, etc., along with the existence of these thousands of alien races. Bottom line, when a paranormal related topic, one which involves the presence of demons or fallen angels who are committing deception, when that is your field of ministry and you hear many victim stories, especially when the topic surrounds and permeates your life, it's really easy to develop a skewed perception of reality if you get caught up in your own little bubble of what you're hearing all the time from the experiencers that you're working with. And if you're not very careful to stick to biblical truth and maintain a guard up against the deceptions that are going to be coming at you through people who are under deception, it can be easy to have your little niche bubble of perception seem to expand to cover all of reality, rather than it just being these people have been deceived, this small percentage, small percentage of people, perhaps a large number, but have been deceived in this particular way, rather than this is just a deception on them. It's if you start believing the things that demons or fallen angels have told them or saying through them, manifesting, then you're going to get a skewed view of reality. And if you focus in on that, then it can seem like that must be all of what's really going on in reality, even though it's not. It's just the deception these people are under. Another contributing factor, why this is being taught by Russ. Okay, another contributing factor may have been Russ being physically attacked by a demon manifesting in an SRA MPD victim, resulting in injury, and he's also receiving threats against his family from victims of SRA MPD, which are demonized, which those are things which could compromise anyone's objectivity and emotions towards their clientele. No offense meant. That could compromise anyone's objectivity and emotions towards their clientele. Nevertheless, there is fear and paranoia prevalent in Russ's book, The Black Awakening, which can be seen as he shares what he imagines of a future survivalist scenario, hiding out with guns, unable to trust but a select proven few, sure are not satanic super soldiers, hiding out while in danger of friends, neighbors, and co-workers revealing themselves to be satanic super soldiers with SRA MPD, even though they seem like normal people, as they spontaneously just drop their masks and they just show their formerly hidden demonized super soldier personalities as they start hunting people down in the streets in a mass murder killing spree. Fear and paranoia, this all could be taken as evidence of a compromised objectivity and emotional state in result from traumatization from personal attack and injury amidst an atmosphere of threats of more of the same. In practicing spiritual warfare, trauma, such as being violently attacked, in itself can become a focal point for demonic oppression on the victim. It can confuse your thinking. And if the event is not processed in a biblical, godly way, just fully forgiving the attacker and letting go of the past experience, it can become a focal point for mind compression, such as with fear or paranoia. Letting go, this can be a difficult thing to do while still seeming to be immersed in the threat that seems to be ongoing, with receiving threats with similar possibilities for real dangers in the present. It is easy for fear, paranoia, extremism, and even anger, bitterness, or hatred to set in if judgment has been clouded through personal injury and receiving personal threats, resulting in compromised objectivity and emotional state. Feeling emotional about something can definitely cloud your thinking. And Dizdar has tried to help SRA MPD victims and teach and encourage others to do the same, and no doubt he's helped many people in his ministry. But it is also clear that his teachings have been corrupted with false prophecy, information about the future and about present reality that was received from demons, who are liars. And unfortunately, this being part of his teachings, this has also resulted in many in the online Christian conspiracy fringe community having a skewed perception of both present reality and false beliefs about the future in false prophecy, as well as having developed also a distorted perception of SRA victims and of multiple personality disorder and even of demonization. And the numbers that Dizdar teaches are problematic, as according to his online radio show, his current figure is 10 million people who are these satanic super soldiers who have SRA and MPD and are these demoniac infiltrators of churches and everywhere else. 10 million people. The U.S. population is 300 million people. And so this means that Dizdar is teaching that one out of 30 people, every 30 people you know or meet, that one of them is a satanic super soldier. According to his book, Dizdar says that 95% of those who have multiple personality disorder are dangerous, like this, and those being whose MPD was purposely created. And he says, about that 5%, I guess, is mind control, other things. 90% of that is SRA. And that 95%, he says, is dangerous like this. But and this is contrasted with only 5% of those with MPD who are described as purely being victims in need of help and healing. So automatically, right from the start, his teachings lend people to think that 95% of those who have MPD are dangerous and are likely SRA victims, since he puts it at 90%, including the mind controls, 95. So to think that 95% of those with MPD are dangerous and they're not just victims of SRA, they're not just victims, they themselves are also Satanists or occultists who will someday be committing this mass murder killing spree of the Black Awakening. So he's equating MPD with a 95% chance that someone is a Satanist, occultist, a satanic super soldier who's going to someday be committing this mass murder of the Black Awakening. So he's pretty much equated MPD with satanic super soldier mass murderer. So is that true? Is that accurate? Well, how about this 1 in 30 number? A survey of more objective medical research. There should be links up, the source from this file. Survey of the more objective medical research from the late 80s shows a consensus of only 25 to 50% of those with MPD also reporting SRA experiences. Okay, so we're looking at a difference between 90%, according to Russ, having SRA, but objective medical research is saying 25 to 50%. That's quite a big difference between the high majority and the minority there. Now, that the objective medical research shows 25 to 50% of those with MPD are reporting SRA, what that means is that 50 to 75% of those with MPD are not reporting SRA. And so you could not argue that their MPD was caused by SRA, which means that this indicates that there are alternate, valid, and more prevalent causes for MPD than only just satanic ritual abuse. Not only that there were when this research I'm referring to was done in the late 80s, but of course there would still be the same alternate valid and prevalent causes today. They haven't just gone away. These alternate causes behind 50 to 75% of MPD cases have not simply ceased to exist since the 80s, and are likely still more prevalent causes. Now, research as recent as 2002, as to the 1 in 30 number, research as recent as 2002 only indicates 0.01% to 1% of the population to have MPD, looking at the general population. So at 1% of the population, this would roughly figure to only 1 out of 100 people having MPD, and 1 out of 2 to 400 people having both MPD and SRA, being at 25 to 50% there of those with MPD. Now, if that seems like those numbers are rather startlingly high, keep in mind that the minimum figure of 0.01% is 1 out of 10,000 people having MPD, and that would mean only 1 out of 20,000 to 40,000 people might both have MPD and have also experienced SRA. These figures mean that regardless of the prevalence of MPD in the general population, that the majority of people with MPD, that being 50 to 75%, have not experienced SRA. And so it is not fair to assume that a person who has MPD has been a victim of SRA. The two are simply not equitable. It's really not fair for one to even bring the other to mind as equating. As such, DSDAR's figures of 1 out of 30 people having both SRA and MPD and being demoniacs, these figures, 1 out of 30, are greatly exaggerated, inaccurate, and frankly sensationalistic. These teachings, DSDAR's teachings, are encouraging an unfounded prejudice against those with MPD. Because DSDAR is putting the SRA or mind control rate of those with MPD that are dangerous to be 95%, when in fact only 25 to 50% of those with MPD seem to actually have SRA. There's a big difference between 90% and 25 to 50%. And to say 1 out of 30 people, when you're comparing it to something more realistic, at the absolute worst, you could be looking at 1 out of 200, but at the absolute best, you're looking at 1 out of 40,000. Compared to a solid 1 out of 30 from DSDAR, no matter how you slice it, it is greatly amplified and exaggerated. And so then there's the issue of what is your worldview like when you think this? I mean, there's a lot of difference. I mean, if a person believes that 1 out of 30 people that they meet are secretly satanic super soldiers with SRA and MPD that are demonized, with a hidden personality, that, and they're just waiting to kill them in this Black Awakening mass murder killing spree. If you go around thinking 1 out of 30 people is a satanic super soldier, you're going to have a very different worldview that's going to affect your behavior than, let's say, a person who believes that maybe 1 out of 40,000 people, or even 1 out of 20,000 people, have MPD and are just victims of SRA. There's a big difference between equating someone who's had SRA in their background to being a satanic super soldier, or just seeing them as a victim of abuse who's not dangerous. So if you think that 1 out of 40,000 people might have MPD and also be a victim of SRA, and you don't assume they're dangerous, you're going to have a very, very different worldview than the person who's believing that 1 out of 30 people is a satanic super soldier that's going to be out to kill them. A divergence in belief that is this far from actual verifiable reality that objective medical research can back up to some extent, a belief that's this far from actual reality is delusional. And it's likely to cause psychological harm in those who would believe this delusion, as well as spiritual harm. The divergence of DSDAR's numbers from the numbers that can be verified from objective medical research, from the objective medical research field, clearly indicate these teachings to be false. That anyone who wants to just look this up can see this. The estimate of 1 out of 30 people simply just has no objective backing. People are expected to take this on faith. And if you look it up and you see, there's a huge divergence here. The numbers don't line up with anything that can be verified in reality. Then you think, well, this is a big problem. Well, why is anyone, you know, has just no one looked this up? Why is anyone believing that this is the case? Well, the numbers are very divergent, and as such, it is convenient that a key component of DSDAR's teachings is that most of these people are undiagnosed and unaware that they have SRA and MPD, unaware they are demonized, and most of the time, as far as anyone knows, they seem like normal people. It's a convenient part of the teaching, because then you can have these mass numbers of people that there is no evidence of their existence, they're unreported, they're not seeking medical help, they're not showing up in the statistics available from more objective medical research because they're undiagnosed, they don't have it, and no one around them seems to be able to tell they have it, they have a problem. Most of the time, they just seem like normal people. This means that co-workers, friends, family, church members, just people you meet, people that you know, any of them could be one of the 30, but no one knows who. Their existence is claimed by DSR, but there is no proof of their existence. And of course, the objective medical research field has no way to count their numbers. This is an argument from absence that requires believers of DSR to make a leap of faith, to believe these people exist, although there is no proof of their existence. If believed, this line of thinking is a breeding ground for paranoia, trying to discern who around you that you know may be one of the 30, if believed. Of course, the impetus to figure out whom is that someday these people you know will spontaneously snap and start killing everyone around them. Perhaps even worse or just as bad is that in the meantime, these people, these satanic super soldiers that are hidden in what seem to be normal people, they're portrayed by DSR not as victims as abused with themselves to be Satanists or occultists, and that they can appear to be normal Christians that are infiltrating local churches and doing horrendously evil and sick things, even secretly. As described in the Black Awakening, we're talking about things that would be considered disgusting, immoral, even criminal. He is portraying these people, these hidden super soldiers, who can even seem to be Christians and be attending churches. He portrays them of being capable of doing things that are really too repugnant for many people to think of or normally consider. It's really just shocking. And so here's one of the problems, is DSR's teachings actually warn Christians to be on the lookout for these hidden SRA, MPD, satanic super soldier demoniacs that infiltrating their local churches. He's teaching Christians to be on the lookout for them, infiltrating their local churches, that they're going to convincingly pretend to be Christian, but then they're also doing these horrible and sick things. We'll get to a little later. The picture that DSR paints of these hidden infiltrators is so evil and untrustworthy, it is beyond shocking. The shock value of DSR's teachings must not be underestimated. They generate both shock and fear. It generates both shock and fear to have a man confidently assert, with frightening personal testimony, that people you know who seem normal, people you know at church who seem like normal Christian people, could be killers, even your friends, even people you know well, even perhaps people in your family and co-workers, people you work with, people you've worked with for years, or Christians that you fellowship with at your church, maybe have for years. DSR confidently claims to have found these hidden infiltrators in many churches himself, and he sets the example for being on the lookout for them. And he claims to have found them, and he also emphasizes how skilled they are at appearing to be normal Christians, how well they are able to become part of a local fellowship. They're eager to help. They move up the ranks of service, according to his book. They aim to develop a position in the church of acceptance and belonging. Now just look at that at just face value. That pretty much any Christian who is serious about their Christianity and has the time and the calling to get into ministry, what does every church want? What does every pastor want? They want people to get involved. They want them serving in the church. They want people to come and get involved. And so what is actually described by DSR as things to look out for is them appearing to be normal Christians, them becoming part of a local fellowship, wanting to help, getting involved, serving in the church, and stuff that's very normal, wanting to be accepted, wanting to belong, fit in. You know, these are the things that are portrayed in his book as, you know, indicative of someone being a hidden infiltrator. Well, getting back to the shock and fear aspect of if you actually believe this to be reality, the idea that you could already be friends with or know a person like this, whether at church or at work or among your friends, someone who could already presently be doing some of the sick things that DSR describes in your own church, the private life, secret life, you know, unbeknownst to anyone, it's a shocking and frightening belief to entertain. It's well known in studies of brainwashing and changing beliefs that shock coupled with fear serves to disorient people. It throws them off balance when they have some shocking thing that generates fear that's just thrown in their face. It's disorienting. They've never thought of it before. And it opens them up to questioning their usual view of reality, the view of reality they've had up to that point. It opens them up. The more shocking and fear-generating a new belief can be, it opens them up all the more to accepting a new belief, especially in order to be wary of a newly perceived threat. Anyone who's studied some on 911, or just the idea of people being willing to accept things that at one point would have seemed immoral or unbelievable, using, you know, when there's something that's shocking that happens and gets you to accept new things that maybe you wouldn't have before. It can tempt people. It often tempts people to compromise morally in order to protect themselves from this newly perceived threat. And Dizdar's teachings do manage to produce precisely this effect. In result, it is perhaps not surprising that no leeway or consideration is given for if these supposed hidden infiltrators, someone so accused, no leeway or consideration is given for if they profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, nor does it matter if their behavior is fine and they seem normal. If their profession of faith is sincere, it doesn't matter, nor does it matter if no one has any evidence that they have actually done anything wrong, that they've actually done the sick things that the Dizdar says they're capable of doing. No evidence is needed. Their profession of being a Christian doesn't matter. That they seem to be normal. None of this matters. There's no leeway or consideration really given because we're looking for a ghost, basically, is somebody that looks normal, they seem normal, they seem to be a Christian, they're part of a church or somebody you know, but there's no consideration given for that in the book. Now, of course, those who are going to most easily would be labeled as such are those who disclose to other people any present or past experiences of demonization, MPD, or other dissociative problems, satanic ritual abuse, or other severe or unusual abuse. If a person discloses these things about themselves and is seeking help and healing from their past, this, unfortunately, is portrayed as proof positive, all the more proof positive, that the person is secretly on these hidden satanic super soldiers, an SRA, MPD demoniac that's infiltrating. But of course the accusation of being this SRA, MPD demoniac infiltrator, it does not necessarily stop there. It doesn't have to just be people who disclose something about themselves. It can include other people. It can be anyone. As the paranoia of these beliefs leads Christians to thinking anyone, especially those who have a past or are odd, awkward, new in a church, but also just those who, for some reason, might come on the radar of those who are out on the lookout for these infiltrators. Anyone could be one of these SRA, MPD demoniac infiltrators because they seem Christian, they seem normal. They're trying to infiltrate, they're trying to stay hidden, as they can seem very normal and helpful and all sorts of things. Anyone could be one of them, according to Dizdar's teachings. The criteria for detection is wide open. As Dizdar teaches, most of these people seem normal, and they don't even realize that there's anything wrong with them. And this brings us to the crux of the problem of these teachings of the online Christian conspiracy fringe community, these teachings potentially harming local Christian churches. I just want to add in one other thing about these numbers that we've covered. We're talking, Dizdar's numbers are 1 out of 30 people's a satanic super soldier. But the most, at a stretch, that could be actually backed up by objective medical research is 1 out of 200, at the very, very worst. 1 out of 200, at the very best, 1 out of 40,000. 1 over 30 compared to 1 over 200. So that's about the same as saying he's adding about 6 people, because we're looking at what would equate 1 over 30 to equate to, let's say, 7 over 200. So he's adding six people in there. And so what that actually gives us is that for every person who is actually identifiable as having MPD and SRA, according to DISDAR, compared to the objective medical research, you know, about a 1-to-6 ratio there for every person who has MPD and SRA, that to where you could actually, they're counted by the medical research. They know they have some problem, or somebody does, and they're counted in the statistics, that you have every one of those people, you have six of them who are hidden who seem normal. And so what DISDAR is actually teaching here is about a, you know, 6-to-1 ratio to where those who actually seem like they could have the MPD and SRA, that for every one of them, there's six who are hidden and seem like normal people and don't know that they have MPD or SRA and are these satanic super soldiers waiting to crop up and kill everyone. So that should also be noted about the numbers here, is that much more emphasis of this teaching is focused on those who are hidden and seem normal, seem to be Christians, and don't know that they have this problem, don't know that they're a satanic super soldier. Okay, six times more about this of this teaching is focused on normal Christian people who might be infiltrators. Okay, six times more than the actual one who actually knows they have some problem and would be counted in the medical research.